From Tridio Media, I'm Father Roderick, and this is The Daily Breakfast. Hi, and welcome back to The Daily Breakfast. I'm Father Roderick, and today I want to talk about major news that broke last week in the field of science. You must have heard by now that Stephen Hawking, one of the greatest scientific minds in the world, has passed away last week. He died at the age of 76, which in itself you could almost call a miracle, because at the age of 21, he was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, and the doctors back then only gave him 5 years at maximum to live. And yet he reached the age of 76. The illness, of course, gave him a huge handicap. He was at in the later phase of his life unable to speak, so he used this voice computer with an American accent, which is very strange because, of course, he's British. He's English. And he always said himself, you know, my body may be paralyzed, but in my mind, I am free. And he was an amazing thinker, a guy with a tremendous sense of humor as well. And he contributed so much to the world of science. I mean, our understanding of gravity, of the Big Bang, of black holes, of concepts like time. Some people compare him to Einstein, and it's kind of a coincidence, of course, but still striking that he died on Pi Day, which is kind of the token day for scientific nerds. But he leaves behind a tremendous legacy. Now, a lot of the news reports mentioned that he was a convinced atheist. And that's something that he, especially later on, has been more pronounced about, that there is no God. God is like a fairy tale for people that are just scared to die. And that's of course, something. It's not just Stephen Hawking who says that there is, we know that atheism is on the rise, especially among younger people. And it's often explained in a sense that religion is something backwards. And now that we live in this scientific era, that we know so much about the universe, it's almost as if there is no need for God anymore to explain the complexity of creation. Or you won't even call it creation as a scientist. But we don't need God to explain the universe. And a lot of the kind of simplistic religious theories that want to explain God as someone, and I think that's the core problem, God as being part of creation, part of the universe, like a being that is literally pushing some buttons and who is there, kind of the God that we see in Stephen Colbert's show, you know, the bearded guy who is like in the dome talking to us and pushing buttons. That concept of God doesn't hold up in the light of science. And you know what? As a priest and as a Catholic priest and theologian and a philosopher, I would say he's totally right about that. And that is valid criticism. Any religion that opposes faith and science, I think, reduces what faith truly is and who God truly is. And I think the biggest problem that Stephen Hawking had with faith was not, I think, with faith as such, but with certain ways, in certain denominations, perhaps certain religious views of science and of the world. But I would really say that is not the case with Catholicism. In the Catholic view, and this goes back to even to Aristotle, but certainly to Thomas Aquinas. Aristotle, of course, wasn't a Catholic, but St. Thomas Aquinas takes a lot of that philosophy and continues to develop it. For Thomas Aquinas, one of our greatest thinkers of the Middle Ages, there simply could not be an opposition between faith and science. Both are talking about the truth. However, there is a very substantial difference between what science talks about and what faith talks about, or science and theology, or philosophy. Science talks about the world that is, the things that we – a scientist examines what he or she discovers. It's already there. A theologian will ask the question about why. Why is there something instead of nothing? That is the first metaphysical question that you learn in philosophy. What is the core question of metaphysics? It is, why is there something rather than nothing? Whereas science talks about, how did this come about? And one of the objections that Stephen Hawking had against certain forms of religion was, he said, you know, asking the question of what was there before the Big Bang, and he, by the way, credits the first one who came up with the concept of the Big Bang was a priest. It was Lemaître, a scientist priest who came up with that. But he said, if you presuppose that there is a God before the Big Bang, that doesn't make sense. Before the Big Bang, there was no time. And if there is no time, there's no time for a God to create. So asking if there was something before the Big Bang is like asking if there is something south of the South Pole. And I think that that is exactly indicative of what a lot of modern scientists, the kind of the trap they fall into, is not having solid metaphysical, not making the difference between the physical world and the metaphysical. He was not a philosopher. He was a scientist. And so a philosopher would always say, as a scientist, you can explore the universe. You may have the most wonderful theories, but you're still dealing with the question of how. Whereas the theologian, the philosopher, will ask the question, why? Why is there something? And when we talk about God, we don't talk about a being. We don't say God is an old guy with a beard. Those are our images, our pictures, and we can only speak about God in our very limited human language, also our visual language. So we think about someone who is very old because he was there at the beginning of creation. So we must have a beard. He must look like an old guy, right? But a theologian will always say we know much more. What we don't know about God is so much bigger than what we do know about God. And what we do know about God is what he revealed to us. It's not something that we can reach just using our mind. However, our mind can help us ask these questions that go beyond the questions that a physician or a scientist or an astronomer would ask. And it's always – so God – is, and he is not a being. He is not created. That's in our creed, in our confession of the faith. We deliberately say that God was not created, and Jesus was born. But Jesus is, as the Son of God, is not on the same level. He entered creation by becoming man, by becoming one of us. But as the Son of God, he is uncreated. The same is true for the Holy Spirit. It's not someone that God made or something like that. He's not. So God is – you should never put God on the same level as anything else that is created. And that is why God in Catholic theology is beyond time and space. And Pope Francis actually – spoke with Stephen Hawking, and Stephen Hawking, and you may be surprised by that, was a member of the Pontifical Council the Pontifical Academy of Science. He was one of the 80 scientists from all over the world, from different backgrounds, not all Catholic, not all religious even, that the Vatican has gathered to constantly talk about, because in the Catholic faith, faith and science can never be opposed. They work hand in hand to help us to discover the truth. But Pope Francis, in his last meeting with Stephen Hawking, did a talk about creation. And he said, rather than the world, the universe, being the result of just coincidence, something born from chaos, the world, even the Big Bang, kind of presupposes a loving will that came before that. Otherwise, what is the sense of, what is the reason of this? And that's always where I would ask the questions. I am not a scientific mind. I don't have a scientific mind. I'm not an astronomer. I'm interested in science, but I'm a philosopher and I'm a theologian. But I can still have common ground with someone like Stephen Hawking. I don't believe that there is an opposition between these worlds. And I would always ask, and I've had these conversations with atheists and people that had difficulty believing, is, well, let's talk about love. Why is love so important? And there is no one that I've ever met who said love is not important. And even Stephen Hawking said, you know, one of his quotes, if you're lucky enough to find love, remember it is there and don't throw it away. That's Stephen Hawking saying this. Well, love is one of those things that you cannot explain away with just science or just the physical aspects of love. There is something that is literally supernatural about love, that is metaphysical. And so it's something you cannot exclude as a scientist. You can say, I don't see the need for it. I don't need it to explain how the universe came about. I don't need it to for my theories about the Big Bang, etc. But if a scientist would say God does not exist, then I would say that's beyond the domain of science. That is beyond the physical domain. That is a metaphysical affirmation. And you know what is funny? Because Stephen Hawking was part of this Pontifical Academy, he was often in talks or talking to the current Archbishop Sanchez from, I think he's from Argentina, who heads actually that academy. They had a conversation, and this Archbishop asked him personally, Stephen Hawking, you know, is your stance, and that is something that came about later on in his first, the most famous book, A Short History of Time, was that it? A Brief History of Time. Stephen Hawking still says that, you know, he leaves it open, basically. And it's only later on in his life that he started to say, well, no, I really don't believe that there is a God. We're just monkeys. But what makes us special, and that's kind of the ambivalence in what he, in the things that he said, we're just monkeys, but we are monkeys that that ask questions and want to understand the universe, and that makes us super special. I would say, well, that is probably why we're not monkeys. But in this conversation with the Archbishop, Sanchez asked him, did you reach that conclusion that God does not exist on the basis of your scientific research or your scientific thought? And then Hawking replied to him, no, actually, that conviction has nothing to do with science. So he was honest enough to acknowledge that he could not, as a scientist, say that God did not exist. And that, I think, is very important to constantly stress. And in addition to that, I would say, just like anyone else, Stephen Hawking was searching for answers. He was curious. He was constantly, despite his physical condition and his illness, he was always asking why and looking at the stars and trying to think through this. And I think that's a natural desire that is in any one of us. But the thing is, what he wanted to have is a theory of everything. It's one of his major goals as a scientist was to understand everything. And I think that's like a painter who says, I want to paint everything. That's impossible. What you paint, what you find, the answers that you will find will always ask you new questions. And because ultimately the answer to the longing that we have, be it scientific longing or creative desires, the only answer that can transcend our ongoing eternal thirst for more is God himself. He's the only one who transcends our reality and can totally fulfill this endless hunger or thirst in us. It's like in the conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. He is thirsty. She is there to drink. And then Jesus says, only if you drink from the water that I will give you, you will live. You will truly live. Or well, don't quote me on this, but it's literally in the gospel an indication that Jesus, as the Son of God, is the only one who can quench our thirst. And I think that's true for art, that's true for science. But it does not mean that as a scientist, you need the crutch of faith or anything to make it fit. That is why I'm always very skeptical about certain religious denominations with the Bible in one hand and then the let's say the physical world in the other hand are saying, well, the Bible says that God created the world in 7 days, so it has to be exactly 7 days. And the Bible says the world is so many thousand years old, so when science says that there are bones of dinosaurs that are older, then there must be something wrong with science, or it's the devil who hit the bones of the dinosaurs in the earth to confuse us and to... We're talking about different domains, and the Bible is not a book of science. It is a book of literature that expresses transcendent truths, metaphysical truths, but it does not, but never use the Bible as a science book. Nor do you have to take science as a stick to hit religion out of the world, because those are domains where science cannot reach. But both can work in harmony to help us marvel. And that's the final tip that I'm going to give you, is to read the beautiful article of a talk by the Vatican's astronomer, Guy Consalmagno. He's an amazing guy. And he says the study of the universe in itself is an act of worship. Because what you do when you look at the stars, when you ask these questions, you open yourself up for something that is bigger than you and probably even bigger than your mind, even as brilliant as Stephen Hawking's mind can ever comprehend. It's opening yourself up and acknowledging, which also a lot of Christian Catholic scientists do, that we will never be able to explain everything, but we can open ourselves and marvel at the world, and perhaps that will help us to acknowledge what Pope Francis said in his talk to the Academy, where Stephen Hawking was present, that ultimately, if you study science, if you marvel at the universe, you may discover that there is a loving will behind all that. Anyway, it's a very fascinating discussion, and just Googling Stephen Hawking and faith and this discussion, I could talk about this for hours and hours, but I'm going to end it here. Thank you so much, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. Feel free to leave a comment and make sure you go to tridio.com. There's one final thing that I promised you yesterday, and that is that I would reveal a little bit more about the big projects that we're going to start our fund drive for. At Easter, between Easter and Pentecost, we're going to do our first fund drive. It's for two projects. One has to do with Lego, and I think you already know what that is. The other one is new, and it has to do with Star Wars and faith. And I think that project alone is going to help so many people, schools, parents, teenagers, to discover more about faith through the language of Star Wars. And the same is true for Lego and faith. More details to come, but already put it in your calendar. I really hope that you can help us make these projects a reality. That's all for now. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And I'll be back tomorrow. Take care and God bless.